For February the 5th, 2021, we talk about Ori and the Will of the Wisp, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Frozen Wilds, and we ask you which games you like the idea of, but don't like actually playing. Welcome to Level 359. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meisweth.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, David.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah. You were out these past couple weeks because you've been moved, right?
Yep. So I am riding out the apocalypse in down in Huntsville, Alabama. So, yeah, got some friends down here that I'm actually living by. So that's been kind of fun. Makes it
actually
a little easier to, you know, do at least some social stuff.
Actually, did you ever
consider going to a place that was more culturally different than New York, though?
You know, I mean, I don't like to, you know, shake things up too much. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So in my mind's eye, Alabama has just gone like full Mad Max at this point.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's, you know, running around in, you know, leather and metal spikes and flamethrowers for every car.
Yeah. No. This is all adding up every little bit. But yeah, like how did the move go? Anything cool happening?
The move itself was a nightmare,
as moving goes.
I mean, yeah, especially getting things into and out of New York is fucking awful. So,
yeah.
Well, basically, moving company, like, decided, to charge me a lot more than, what they had estimated, and then didn't do a whole bunch of the stuff they were supposed to, and like had a lot of damage and stuff like that. So still working through that. Some not too big of a deal overall, but just kind of, you know, frustrating. But
yeah.
Actually being here is pretty sweet.
That's good.
Where is it in relation to where you lived in Huntsville before?
Would be like a 10-minute drive.
Okay.
Yeah, it is not a particularly big city.
They still have the Nook?
They still have the Nook.
That place is pretty dope.
Was that like a cafe? Like what's the Nook?
It was like a beer place that was like really cozy.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. You know, they have just a ton of different beers, but it's a very small space. So, like, a lot of the beers are just, like, in boxes, stashed random places around the dining room.
You're not shopping, you're hunting.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the Costco setup.
I mean, with the apocalypse, you can pretty much say that about anyone.
Yeah.
I have to say, the Nook is probably a name that covers the broadest possible range of genres. Like, that could be a kinder care center. That could be a beer place. That could be a drug front. Like, there's the library. You can go any direction with that name.
Yeah. English muffin store.
No low stuff.
Nice. Ben, how about you?
I made Rice Krispies yesterday because I wanted to eat Rice Krispies, and that proved to be a good decision.
Was this so you made, like, you took
Rice Krispie treats?
Yeah. Oh, Rice Krispie treats. The way that you said that, I puffed up rice and made it into a cereal.
I forgot that there was a use for Rice Krispies besides Rice Krispie treats, so yeah. It kind of had a false equivalency there.
Oh, that's cool. Do you do Rice Krispie treats with peanut butter or without?
Without, but this is like the first time I've ever made them. So.
Okay, yeah. No, I do without. No, nice. when you make them homemade, they're a lot gooier than if you buy them from a store.
Yeah, that was whatever. We don't have to go too deep into cooking, but yeah.
I feel like that would be something that could be a lot of fun to, I don't know, mess with flavors. Like, I don't know, add some, like, peppermint extract to your Rice Krispies or something like that.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Peanut butter, dog.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Peanut butter does make everything better.
I'm mutant who doesn't like peanut butter, so I will step aside from that.
I mean, some people have like peanut allergies, so I can understand people not liking peanut butter.
Yeah.
And fun fact, in Germany the toothpaste tastes like peanut butter, it's that flavored. So a lot of German people I know don't like the taste of peanut butter.
No. But, because it just reminds them of toothpaste.
Yeah, but like we have the same thing with mint and that doesn't really apply, so
yeah.
Who knows?
Huh.
The real question is, why would you flavor toothpaste like peanut butter?
Yeah, that's a really strange choice. That's not.
Yeah, it's got to be an efficiency thing, right?
It's like all cultural things where it just happened and nobody, you know, like people just pick different things independently of one another and they just stuck with it, you know, and so now it's just the way it is.
I don't know.
I've always kind of wanted to try making a toothpaste that wasn't peppermint flavored just to see like what the market effects of that would be.
There's been like, you can get like bubblegum flavored toothpaste if you're a kid. Well, I mean, adults can buy them. I didn't have to go buy my own bubblegum toothpaste when I was a kid. There's also like cinnamon toothpaste and stuff like that. So I just,
still feel like there's like, it's still relegated to like flavors your grandparents could get at the corner store.
I just like, I don't know, I always associate brushing your teeth with like being refreshed, and so something that tastes like peanut butter, like that just seems like it would, I don't know, like slow me down or something.
It's, it's so heavy.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember like what the cool kids' toothpaste was when we were kids? Where it's like it was like dark blue. Does anyone remember this?
No, we never talked about
sparkles.
We never talked about toothpaste as kids, really.
Man,
see, I feel like what the cool kids would have to use would be like if you could make toothpaste mixed with Pop Rocks.
Oh, dang, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
This is going to bother me. Jen had this, by the way, and I was always like jealous that they had that type of toothpaste.
Okay, and it's blue?
Yeah, it was like dark blue, and it had like a kid mascot or whatever.
Okay. I'm pretty sure a lot of my toothpaste like now is blue.
Yeah.
It's like dark blue, and it might have had sparkles in it, maybe. And it didn't taste okay. Like mint. It had like a different flavor to it.
Okay.
No, I imagine we will be low key Googling that for the rest of the day. And so what
I'll be checking your sources.
Whenever one of us finds it, don't even preface and say, "Hey guys, I found this." Just like pop out with, you know, Captain Teeth. It was called Captain Teeth. It was Captain Teeth brand toothpaste. Doesn't matter. I don't care if I'm relating a horrible, tragic story. If I get a call in the middle of this show and like, oh my gosh, guys, I have terrible news. Captain Teeth. Oh man.
Captain Teeth waits for no man.
Dennis, how about you?
I had the most surreal and infuriating doctor's visit I've ever had in my life. Ooh. So I'll preface by saying I'm perfectly fine.
Okay.
And that was part of what made it so infuriating. So I'll rant a little bit here. For old medical stuff, I'm on a low dose of a blood thinner, right? And I'm supposed to get that checked every so often, but literally my dosage has not changed since I've been on it. And when the pandemic happened, you guys remember that, right? I didn't go into those checks just because it was like, all right, non-necessary doctor's visits I should probably cut out. Like, I don't want to take any risks I don't have to.
Right.
But I think you even talked to last week on the show. It's like, you know, I should probably go get a checkup. So I'll go do a well visit. I haven't gone for a bit. Mm-hmm. I call and schedule it. I get a reminder confirming it. And I go in. And they say, oh, we are so sorry. But they didn't even phrase it that way. They're just like, oh, you didn't know. The doctor broke up with you.
What?
That was my reaction.
So, and, like, did he find a newer, younger patient?
I have to imagine the doctor wouldn't come out to talk to me. They said, oh, well, you refuse to follow his advice, and that makes you a medical risk that we can't have. And so you've been discontinued as a patient because I decided not to go in. They said there was a letter that got sent out at some point, which I never saw. And even if I did see it, how was I able to call in and literally schedule a meeting with them?
Yeah.
And so I'm standing there like in disbelief trying to figure out like, and they're like, we can recommend a new doctor. I was like, yeah, I would definitely think it's time for a new doctor if this is happening.
Yeah.
But so, you know, not going in because of the pandemic apparently is a bad choice, I learned.
Well, and also, yeah, like, if that's a possibility, like, I don't know, call a dude, let him know he's on the bubble.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
So I walking out being like, what the hell? But apparently doctors are allowed to break up with you. And well, I never knew that before.
And that's a huge hassle going to a new place. Like, you have to pay for like a new patient setup. Like, it's a special kind of appointment. You have to have your records transferred.
Like, yeah, it's like the first date. You got to pay for the meal. You got to do introductions, find out what they're into.
I've been going to the doctor for 33 years. I have not reached the point where the doctor starts paying me for the appointment.
Yeah. You guys don't want to go Dutch? Okay, I guess not.
So I've got to think, what would the motive be for that?
I think not. So I had a family physician who was fantastic that I've seen for my entire life up until about a year ago. He retired, and that's when I went to this new guy. New guy heard I'm on this blood thinner, I think, without, and didn't know anything but that. Didn't bother to learn.
Right.
And so when they saw that I had chosen not to go in to get the blood levels checked, I think maybe he wanted fewer patients or something like that. Like,
wow.
Just struck it. So, like I said, my dosage of this thing hasn't changed in literally since I've been on it. It's a complete non-factor. But it is causing me to get a new doctor now. So, wow. Side effects may include doctors being an asshole to you.
Good God. Yeah, that sucks. Crazy.
Craziness.
Yeah, and
it's
good.
It's interesting rationale too. Like, the rationale is like, oh, we don't want to be liable if something bad happens to you. Like, we're afraid of being sued, so we're not going to have you as a patient.
Too dangerous for you to stay home in the pandemic.
Or more selfish if they're like, we want people who come in regularly and get you know, a better stream of money. Like, that could be. It's either way. Like, neither rationale is pretty bad. But
yeah. Crazy. Yeah,
see, that's why I would feel like is, you know, were you just not a big enough spender?
Yeah, wow. I gotta make it rain in that waiting room, I guess.
Yeah.
Where that's like, that's what I should do. I mean, if we fix his heart, then we can't sell him a new one.
You're not getting any cosmetic spleen surgeries done?
No, I've been looking at it. When I go to meet the new doctor, wherever I find him, I'll just walk in with a wad of cash and just, you know, toss it in the air as I come in the first time.
No, let him know. Establish your dominance as a whale. Yeah, that is really dumb. I imagine whatever new doctor you go to, you're going to explain what happened and ask like, is that bullshit? And also, will you do that to me? Like, how do I avoid having this happen?
Can you confirm that you are not that?
Yeah. And if they respond to, is that bullshit, with no, then you know you need to ditch that one too.
Yeah.
Oh, more doctor dating. Guys, man. I had been in a happy relationship for so long. I don't want to get back in this dating game.
No, it's different.
I don't want to have to coordinate my stethoscopes, you know? You do bring a stethoscope to the doctor, right? I'm doing that correctly.
Well, I mean, you don't want to use the one that they've used on everybody else. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so crazy event. I'm still trying to rationalize.
Yeah.
Can I tell a weird story? A weird tangential story? I know we don't do that often. But
no, yeah. you do it.
I think one of the times that I was most like impressed with a doctor is when I moved to Seattle from Austin. And full disclosure, this is kind of gross. I have like earwax, right? People have earwax. I have earwax,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so, like, my Austin one's like, oh, you got to get this thing, and you should, like, put drops in your ear and, like, do, you know, X, Y, and Z, which I tried and stuff like that. Seattle doctor, like, looked in and was just like, here, hold on a second. Like, stuck a thing in my ear and, like, pulled out a bunch of earwax. It was just like, just, it did it in, like, a minute. It was just like, all right, done. It's just like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
They shrunk
you. I feel like the Austin doctor would be like, man, I know a great dispensary. We can...
It's the reverse, though. They have that in Seattle, but they don't have that in Austin.
Yeah, no, I've had to get an earwax flush, and it's really it's an amazing feeling. It's like getting new glasses. Like, oh, okay, no, I didn't realize how bad I had it.
Yeah.
What, can you like hear better?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I know when I've had it, like I've had like pressure, like I've gone in thinking that I had like a sinus infection or something like that, and like no, you're all of your tubes are stopped up because of this earwax. Here, let's irrigate that. Let's drain it, and then boom, irrigate.
I like it. I see. Yeah.
No, I didn't do that intentionally. hey, Ben, you didn't heed my request. You just put the screen cap of the ad into the Discord.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't. You didn't shout it out. So.
All right. Sparkle Crest is the name, but that's not what I remember it as. But I'll take it. That's like the closest thing I got.
No, Crest. Yeah, I mean, Crest is just a brand of toothpaste that you have.
Do you guys remember this mascot? Am I being crazy here?
No, I remember it. Yeah,
Blue gel type stuff that wasn't really minty, but
yeah. So the real question here is, if I say no, how effectively can I gaslight you?
It doesn't impact me. It doesn't impact me as much as this image that I'm posting right now.
Oh no, not the full size costume.
A man wearing a Sparkle Crest onesie is
the Blue Man Group went through some rough times.
Oh man, I don't have too much going on. Since I streamed the Saw game, I've decided I'll watch all the Saw movies. because nobody's ever told me that I'm going to die. And so as of right now, my belief is that my time on Earth is unlimited. So No, I watched Saw 4 and 5 yesterday, and now I've got 6. I have the final chapter, and then I have Jigsaw, and then I'm free. I'm free from this demon. So
okay, I was gonna ask, like, do they have enough movies that they've stopped using numbers at this point?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy is on like Ziv or something.
Well, because they're cowards. No, because everybody else is cowards because Final Fantasy saw fit to stick to their guns. No, it's it's really like what strikes me is because they get into such like a continuity snarl, it basically just turns into a soap opera but with torture. Where people who come back and, you know, just like, oh, here was this person who you didn't think was anything, and oh, this new character was there all along, and it's kind of some of the dumbest shit.
And you're choosing to watch this, by the way, right? This is free will. Like, no one's making you do this.
I am watching this when I otherwise would be watching, you know, like King of the Hill again or Bob's Burgers. Like, there's just a time that I dedicate to like comfort viewing that just because a lot of these are like on HBO Max, I've just been able to just like fire them up and like have it on in the background as I play a Picross game. Right.
I just want to make sure you're not in a Metasol situation where someone's forcing you to consume all the Saw content or you'll die.
This is my entire. I'm being jigsawed to watch the Saw movies. Yeah.
So I have to say, I did check my entire. This is going to a little bit get into my multiplayer, but my entire like metric for whether a horror movie checks out is does it have a character in Dead by Daylight?
Okay.
And Saul checks out.
Okay.
Despite being the horror movie least appropriate for that game.
They probably have the ventriloquist dummy. They've got somebody like with, no, with a pig, the pig head. No, they have
a woman in a pig costume.
Yeah, no, that'd be the one. Yeah. Huh. No, so I've been doing that. I'll be done by next time. It is remarkable how much they rely on just this continuity snarl and retconning, to the point where like I have shifted from being interested mostly to see like new traps, like the different traps that they have, like the different devices, like those are always like entertaining in a way that like any slasher movie, you know, mm-hmm. is entertaining to see just like, oh, what inventive new way do they have for people to die? Like, that's one of the mm-hmm. reasons you would watch, I think the Final Destination movies are entertaining,
yeah.
even
yeah.
if they're bad, mm-hmm. just like, oh, like, what kind of, like, outlandish situation are they going to do?
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm like, okay, like, it's kind of like watching somebody stack up a whole bunch of dirty dishes. Like, how high can the pile get before it falls over? I'm watching for new ways for them to just make the continuity more bloated.
It sounds similar to satisfactory experience where you get yourself into a situation where you're like, shit, I can't touch anything right now. Yeah. And the entire thing will break.
Yeah. Just the Jigsaw franchise is complete. It is loaded down with whatever the movie version of technical debt is. Oh man. I think that we should, since I'm talking about the Saw movies, we should probably do the regular kind of show. What with, you know, the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with...
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing over the past period of time or so. David, you've been away the longest, so I will throw it to you first.
Not a whole heck of a lot. I've been continuing on with... Did I say in a previous episode that I had got him back into Fallout 76?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I never knew you left.
I figured the real world didn't have enough, apocalypse, so... So I got back into that, and I'm working my way through the Wastelander storyline.
Okay, that's the big expansion that came out most recently, right?
Right, exactly. It's basically a heist. You're trying to break into Fort Knox or whatever to reestablish like a stable gold-backed currency in order to kickstart society again, because this is literally the most boring version of the apocalypse.
So that's funny because you know it fails. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
You definitely. Know, so I mean, hundreds of years later, they're still using bottle caps. So,
yeah, I'm not quite sure where it actually goes. I'll be interested to see with that. But so far, I'm doing the whole like, oh, but we're going to need some specialists.
Okay.
And that's actually really cool. So, I've currently recruited a Chinese spy, one of the random one-off side missions they added is you find a scientist who is doing experiments with creating this collar that when you put it around an animal, it will allow them to speak.
Okay.
And so that it's just
the most important use of science.
Well, literally just the collars from up.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's again the same basic joke being like animals have nothing worthwhile to say. but one of the persons you end up recruiting is basically a raider that that snitched on the raider party, and so they burnt out her voice box with a hot iron.
Okay.
Which is kind of dark. And then, ultimately joined up with the, player faction raiders. And somewhere along the line, someone got her one of these collars so that she can speak. However, that means she speaks entirely more or less with like the cadence and voice of one of those, children's toys. You know, the cow says moo, you know those toys.
Okay, like a speak and spell kind of thing,
right? Yeah. exactly. And so it's very entertaining because it's all that very stilted dialogue, and it's her talking, basically her speaking as though she had like this simple English Wikipedia version of a vocabulary.
Okay.
Most notably, she's completely unable to curse. So, having her tell you things like, don't fornicate it up.
I just want to take a pause here and say that, like, the quest that you're describing sounds like a Bethesda Fallout quest, and the character you're describing sounds like a companion you would have in a Fallout game. Like, this sounds like a Fallout game to me. Yeah.
Yeah, they are slowly, it's very weird seeing a Fallout game get made in real time. the like other character that's... Cyberpunk. Yeah, exactly. The other thing that's kind of fun is there's a character that I think is supposed to be the game's first psyker, because Fallout 76 is notably the only Fallout game that doesn't have a psyker in it.
Psyker.
Someone with psychic powers.
Okay.
And this is apparently basically you meet a ghoul that is terrified of, becoming a feral ghoul.
Okay.
And so is trying to, kill himself. However, is just like completely supernaturally lucky. And so is just unable to successfully, kill himself. For example, you go in and find a place where he literally has stashed like dozens of broken shotguns, because like any gun he uses to try to kill himself like breaks or misfires.
Okay.
So that again is just it's fun. It's one of these things where as you go along, you're basically working backwards through his progressively more over the top attempts to figure out how to off himself.
Okay.
Basically they're finally adding Fallout style Fallout stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
The only other big thing is they finally added a quality of life patch where they tripled your storage space, which has been probably the like single biggest frustration in the game before this point.
Yeah, so, more storage always equals better than.
Yeah. Is this like you're just the maximum storage that is available to you with like all of your... basically like your bank, or is this just like they tripled the amount that you can carry with you?
This is your bank.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where, unfortunately a lot of Fallout like innately revolves around you squirreling stuff away. So having a small storage just straight up doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, especially as the game goes on longer and people play longer and just gather more stuff. I mean, with the crafting alone. Yeah. New recipes and stuff.
Yep.
I remember in Fallout 3, there was an encounter with like a traveling merchant that you found. And I think it was a fairly rare encounter, although I could be completely wrong on that. But just getting into this fight that I was not anticipating against this giant like pack mule type creature and its owner in this big intense encounter, and I kill it and I open it, and I'm like, oh my god, this has like so much stuff, I can't carry none of it. Like the biggest buzzkill.
There was time now. There was time.
I mean, to be fair, I think you can carry it. You just have to then like crawl to the nearest, you know, wherever.
Yeah, you can't fast travel if you're encumbered. Yeah.
Well, I want to say, although I don't remember for sure, but I want to say it's one of those things where, like, because this was just a random roving thing, I went to drop some stuff off, came back, and it had despawned.
Yeah.
Well, that was my chance.
Yeah, it sounds like Fallout 3.
So it's kind of weird. Overall, I would say, you know, kind of my take on this game has been, you know, the core gameplay is still Fallout, which works. You know, they're starting to add, you know, more, you know, actual storyline, those sorts of things. But overall, I don't think it gains a whole lot from being a MMO.
Right.
The one area where it kind of does gain at least difference than being an MMO is since you're spending so much more time in given places and, you know, doing daily quests and stuff like that, there is a weird mechanic of, like, in, you know, like, every major town, I know where all the, like, workbenches or vendors or stuff like that is, and, like, pretty much wherever I am in the game, I know where the nearest place to, like, break down whatever loot I've gotten is. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing. So, like, that's at least an interesting dynamic to it. I don't know if it's overtly good or not, but it's interesting.
Yeah. There's familiarity with place developed over spending time in the world. Yeah.
So, also, just for completely randomness, apparently if you're playing the Saw character in Dead by Daylight, your weapon is a hidden blade, like Assassin's Creed style for some reason.
Yeah, there's one of those in the first movie.
Okay, is that a thing?
When Detective Tapp and Detective Singh have Jigsaw cornered in his workshop, he deploys a hidden blade and cuts Tapp's throat. Before he runs away, and Detective Singh chases after him and gets his head blown off in a booby trap with some shotguns.
Cole, we are in the first one
though, too. No, it's in Saw 1. Yeah,
the shotgun booby trap.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a door with a counterweight. It was a tripwire with a bunch of shotguns pointing down from the ceiling behind an archway.
Cole, we love you, and we are very concerned about your devolution into a Jigsawpedia, and this is now an intervention.
I'm describing one of the 2.5 good Saw movies there are.
I want to see where this kid is. Cole got the voice modulator for his streams recently. Watching a lot of Saw movies. Also, I want to see what you got up your sleeve, Cole.
Yeah. But yeah, there is a hidden blade in play.
Also, apparently, you can get reverse bear traps, which are basically the person must, like, search around and find keys to unlock them in order to be able to exit the level.
That's the test that Amanda Young was put under, portrayed by Shawnee Smith. He captured her because she was a drug addict, put it on her. If you don't take it off in time, it rips your head apart.
Keep going. What happened next?
Well, the key was in the stomach of the person who was in the room with her, and she had to cut it out. And the person that she was forced to kill to get the key was her drug dealer.
Doesn't she later become his partner?
Oh, of course, yeah. No, she was converted because it was a religious experience for her.
And is she the person in the pig costume in this Dead by Daylight?
If it's a woman, yes, she is the only female associate, the only female apprentice that Jigsaw had of the four that he ultimately took under his wing.
Wait, while we're on the subject, do you know about like how they had the trailer for the Saw movie before pandemic with like Chris Rock in it, and then it got like shelved? Do you know about this?
So yeah, it was supposed to come out last year. It's called Spiral from the Book of Saw. It was Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. It's going to be coming out in May. I didn't know about this until I did my stream. People were like, hey, did you hear about this? That is the weirdest casting decision for that kind of movie that I can think of.
Like, I mean, it's like it's following the Fast and the Furious formula where it's like, let's take two side characters, give them their own movies sort of thing.
Kinda, yeah. But like neither of those people have been in, like, you know,
any of the other ones.
Yeah, Chris Rock has never been in a Saw movie. Yeah.
It's like Kevin Hart is gonna be in the Borderlands movie, so yeah, just all over the place.
Yeah. Hey
yeah, David. I feel like Saw is one of those weird things where I don't know. I feel like that would be one of my counterpoints to like later works in a series can ruin earlier works in a series.
So you would say that later works can ruin?
Yeah, I would say the problem is that if the dude had made one Saw movie, it would, you know, my overall take would be like, oh, that's a really interesting concept. Like, mm-hmm. you know, this is, you know, really, you know, smart guy that, you know, cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Once he just made the whole same thing over and over again, it's like, oh, he actually didn't have anything he was going for. He just happened to luck into one good idea.
So like that director and that writer, like that director only did the first one and then it was handed off to like a series of other people who just expanded James the Wong. Universe.
Fair
so enough. speaking of Fast and Furious,
and he went on to direct Aquaman.
Yep. Did you have anything else, David?
That's all I got.
That's all you had? Cool. I'll do mine right now. All I've got is the Saw video game that I talked about last.
Let's stretch. How long can we talk about it for?
I guess all I got to say is don't play this game. It's some dumb bullshit, guys. I timed the opening of that beverage so I wouldn't have to cut it out. As I was real cool, like, oh, it's dumb bullshit, guys. Psst, pop this Diet Coke open. One of these bad boys. Gonna pour it right now, too. Gonna pour it into some bourbon that I got right here. Yeah, no.
There it is. That's how you're coping with the Saw game. It's the bourbon, not the Diet Coke.
I thought you were gonna say you were pouring it onto the Saw game.
No, the Saw game is in my PS3. It's right here.
You could still pour Diet Coke on it.
I could, but it's actually kind of expensive. So I don't want to do that. No, it's really bad. People who watch the stream, like, really, the game overstayed its welcome. The jank was not enough to save it. Although there were, you know, just really funny moments. I forget how much of this I said last time, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's really hindered by the fact that it only takes place in one environment. You're just in that asylum the entire time. Mm-hmm.
You mean that bathroom showroom with an asylum attached?
Yes. Yeah. So incredibly boring from that point of view. You know, I thought that, okay, I'm going to put up with this bad, just kind of like really linear puzzling to get to, or really, really linear exploration to get to really fun boss puzzles as I try and save people from the death traps. You know, no, not really the case. There are only a couple of the death traps that are that are like their own actual puzzle. All the rest are just like, hey, do three like kind of harder versions of the little mini game puzzles you've been doing this entire time within a time limit. Is what they are. So just reused bullshit from the actual levels. The last one, the one that is just unique, like, you know, it is not just a reprise of a standard puzzle that you've been doing, is a memory puzzle. So you got a 4x4 grid and you have to match up the little icons. It's not just matching like with like, but it's like, oh, you have to match the hacksaw with a little foot that's been cut off, like the icon of those. You have to match the tape recorder with a little audio tape. But it's literally just it is just memory puzzles like you would have done when you were a kid.
Huh.
it is such bullshit.
Might not be a coincidence that the game company that made this is now not existent.
Yeah, it is not a going concern anymore. Apparently the second one is even worse. They made the combat they made the combat worse and the puzzles worse.
There's only one way to find out.
Have combat.
What?
Is combat a thing in Saw?
There is some people fight. The premise for the, like, why you are fighting people in this asylum is that Jigsaw has captured just a bunch of people from the streets and locked them into their own traps, and you have a key that is sewn into your body. They're trying to kill you to get the key out of you. And you have to stop them from doing that. What lesson does that teach them? I don't know. What lesson does that teach you? I don't know.
Don't die. You know, I mean, yeah.
Cherish your life. Yeah.
Well, doesn't he kind of do a Joker turn where, you know, he aggressively less and less is teaching people lessons and more is just killing dudes?
No. The facade. All right, I just like murdering people. Sorry, guys.
No, he remains a zealot to the end. It's his apprentices who get disillusioned with his philosophy. Who start designing the inescapable traps. I love that I can just fill this. I can just pollute everybody's mind with this bullshit that I know.
Yep.
Misery loves company.
Hey, I like talking about movies, so I'm fine. And shitty movies, so I'm fine with talking about solid movies.
Speaking of traps and lurking danger, I saw that Dottie has stepped up her war on keyboards.
Yeah, I posted a picture of this. Yeah, she as a cat, she is inclined to want to stand on my keyboard so that I will pay attention to her. So in order to continue working, I got a little keyboard tray to put my keyboard beneath a desk. However, she has discovered that the gap between the desk and the keyboard tray is just wide enough for her to squeeze in. Even with the keyboard under, completely rolled under the desk. So she has just figured out how to wedge herself down there to stop me from working. So I'm trying to think of the next move. Yeah. Mm.
It's got to escalate unless you are remodeling your home to get her away from the keyboard. It has not gone far enough.
You're going to have to get a thing of wood and then nail it beneath the keyboard tray that you have now, but have it be slightly smaller so it's harder for her to fit in that one.
Well, this would be a problem that will be solved by time as she grows. However, just the idea that this could escalate further, friend of the network on Twitter, Jenny, she said, I'm looking forward to when this gets to the point where you build an entirely separate house. So, no, I'm not going to Jigsaw Dottie. That's too much. I don't want to do that.
Oh no, yeah. No, I'm expecting Dottie's going to Jigsaw you.
Oh yes. yeah. I mean it'll happen, but what it'll actually be is like I'll get up in the middle of the night to piss and I'll slip on a toy and fall and break my neck.
Oh.
Oh, people won't find me for days. It's fine. Yeah.
But then at least Dottie will have your full attention. You cannot move.
Yeah, don't worry though. They won't find me for days. So
yeah. Just the way Dottie planned it.
Yep. Devilish. Yeah, so that's all I've got. Nobody play that game. You probably didn't expect that it was gonna be any good. It's not a hidden treasure. Let professionals stream it for you.
Look, a man is going to show up on your doorstep offering you a copy of this game, and you need to refuse.
Mm-hmm.
Don't invite him in.
On the other hand, this would be a great game for the play the villain genre, like a game where you have to build death traps.
Oh yeah.
Although, didn't they make one of those?
Yeah, Death Trap Dungeon. Tecmo's Deception, and then also Trapped.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And to a lesser degree, there's one called Crawl. It's a multiplayer take on it where one player plays as the dungeon.
Yeah. But nothing like specifically where you're, you know, saying, oh, yes, the blade should go here. You know, what you're looking for is like, the Incredible Machine, but the Incredible Death Machine. Yeah.
I'm looking for the Incredible Machine with a irony score.
The Incredible Machine for pigs.
Yes.
at least two of us are rushing to that. I just wanted to get that there.
I was going to say, you're just describing Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah. Ben, how about you? What you been playing, bud?
Yeah, so I mean, I still got Satisfactory. I'll update with my somewhat woes about that. So I have another one too to talk about after this, but I've continued playing the single player world that I have. Things are like nice and pretty and idealistic there. I have nice, clean, beautiful coal energy that is running my power plant.
Cool.
I have like a good steel production, and so I'm making motors and like pipes and steel beams. None of this means anything to anyone who doesn't play the game. And then I also played a bit with my friend in our first world. The bummer with that situation is our power went down on all of our bases, since they're all connected. So one of the power that you make towards the end game is you make it as a byproduct from, you have a byproduct of plastic and rubber that you're making, but you're making like fuel from that and you're burning that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a place to put the plastic or the rubber, if those lines get backed up, then you stop producing fuel, and so the power goes down.
Oh.
And so that, yeah. And so that happened, and so it took the experience of us like exploring the world and trying to find where aluminum is to being like, oh, now we have to like restart our entire base. And like now we have to like disconnect all these power wires to like reduce our load, build manual generators to start up these fuel generators that we have to try and get that running so that we can boost the rest of our factory from going. Uh-huh. And it's just like, dude, it was like, I don't want a second job outside of my regular job. Like, what this is right now.
Yeah, that's what happens. It's like you're on call. You get a little, you know, it's like, yeah, no, shit's fucked. Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What exactly is fucked? I don't know. That's your job to find out. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got power restored to our second base, which is the one that has the main like power stuff. But if we try and connect to the first one, everything goes down. And because we still need to boost some of the power sources we have over there, which is the coal power. And so it's just like, I was just like, we're going to stop here for tonight, I think. Like, I don't want to. Like, so I'll go back to that at some point. But like, man, that's a bummer that perennially comes up. Because essentially it's like you build these power sources and you're like, this is way more power than I'll ever need. And so you just stop thinking about it and just keep expanding your base. But eventually, rent is due and you have to pay the piper.
Have you discovered or at all switched to some of the more, let's say, sustainable?
There's power? Only one more power source that we can switch to. But I have a suspicion that it'll have like similar issues where you still need to maintain it to some degree.
Okay.
I'm referring to geothermal. I don't know if we can get that or not. Nuclear is the only one that I'm aware of left.
Huh. Okay. That may be something that they took out. Like they're two, three years ago when I played this game. There was geothermal, which you could build on geysers.
I see. And
yeah, it would be like it was inputless.
They also don't have geysers, so that could be a problem. Or at least I haven't seen any geysers.
Maybe they saw a break. Yeah. Huh.
Do you know at what stage you got this?
It was really high up there. It was up near the height of where I was at. It was after fuel.
Because we unlocked the final, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, we final tier of like the space elevator.
Yeah.
So we have all the milestones that you can get in the current iteration of the game. And so the main thing that's left is like nuclear stuff. So you can get radiation suits so that you can go in, or so that you can be around uranium and you can build a nuclear plant and power that way.
Right, right.
But I have not seen geothermal, so I don't know. But other than that, we've like refactored stuff with like, how you like travel and stuff. We have like, I think I mentioned it last time, we have like a cool like Cloud City sort of situation where of tubes that'll like shoot you straight up and then send you directly towards where you're needing to go instead of slightly going uphill the entire time because it's really slow traversal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The game's fun. I watched a video on like what they're delivering next for the next update, and they're like adding things. They're adding like magnets of some kind, and they're adding like I think more things to do with like aluminum production and more things to do with nuclear production. It seems like they're expanding on those two things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So the future of this game, it's like, I mean, I still want to play it as a way to like hang out with friends. So like, mm-hmm. I'll certainly try and do that. And I think I'll play the solo game that I have as like a means to relax and like just base build for fun.
Yeah.
But it's approaching the point where I'm not sure like what's left to do in it. And there's like a weird thing too, where it's a really big gap between my single player game and the multiplayer game. So like there's so much technology that I still have to unlock on the single player game. So it's like, it's weird where I'm not sure which one I want to play more, because the first one, the one that I played with my friend, like, we have all these technologies unlocked, but our base is a goddamn nightmare. Like, it's spaghetti conveyor belts everywhere. We have random things, like, boosted with power everywhere to try and, like, even out production rates. But we haven't, mm-hmm. there's no, like, forethought of, like, you need this many, like, constructors to put in this assembler for this thing to have an even flow. None of that at all. And you have, like, splits everywhere where it's like, oh, I need to use this now for this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, the fun thing about it is it's like a really good analogy for software development, where it's like you see all these like short-term plans and like sacrifices made, and then if someone knew where to come and look at the base, they wouldn't have an idea of at all of what's going on, mm-hmm. because there's all this like legacy decisions that have been made, you know, for good reasons at the time, but you know, are not well documented, mm-hmm. and so yeah, so that part's interesting. I like that there's like that like is a good embodiment of that. Like that's kind of a very unique gameplay experience in this.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and that's like kind of what I'm doing in the solo game, is I'm kind of getting around that by like being these particular nodes are just going to make this resource. That's all they're going to do, and they're going to do it perfectly. Mm-hmm. And like, and I'm never going to touch this stuff again. Even if I get an upgraded miner, I'm just going to keep it like that and just build outwards from there.
Yeah.
So it makes it like a lot cleaner, but then it's I don't know. It's also like slower moving. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Definitely trade offs. But anyway, I wanna move on and talk about another game that I've been playing. If there are no more questions about it.
I will hear about another game.
I want verbal confirmation from everyone that there are questions about that. No, just I started playing Ori and the Will of the Wisp, the second Ori game.
Oh, I
did not know there was a first Ori game.
Visually stylish Metroidvania platformer kind of thing.
Am I off base? Is that the second? It's the second one, right? Because I think I started to play the first one, but then I never finished it. And I thought Ori and the Will of the Wisp was the second game.
I know there are two.
It was Ori and the Blind Forest and then Ori and the Will of the Wisp.
Yeah. All right. So this is the second one. Again, I played like the intro for the first one and maybe like played a demo amount of gameplay for it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then just didn't finish it. It's on sale over the weekend and it had good reviews, so I thought I'd play it. It is very much like a Metroidvania game. This will sound like a compliment to most people. It feels very similar to Hollow Knight. It has like a similar structure where it's like 2D. You're exploring a place. There's map people who will give you maps. There's basically different like biomes that you go in. You know, every time you kill people, you get a combination of like experience. And this one, they give you like health and this like mana essentially as well when you kill people. And then there's basically different like cool things to explore in each of the maps that kind of that'll either be like rewards that are in a certain economy, or it'll be like combat shrines or like races and things like that. Mm-hmm. The game, definitely the strength of the game is one, the character design is really cool. And like the art style of the world is really, really cool. They can get you to care about the characters with like an intro cutscene, so it's kind of like the video game equivalent of like Up in that standpoint. So I was surprised by that. So all that has like a lot of love and care. The mechanics of like the jumping and the moving around and stuff like that are really, they feel very, very good. So it's, it has like the Mario jump type feel to it. So all of that feels really fluid and good. I'm trying to think what it's, what I liken it to. And it's, it feels like it cribs a lot from, Hollow Knight, since I never played through the first game. So I don't know like what's influencing what there, if like the first game influenced Hollow Knight and then, or if this one is influenced, if Hollow Knight's influencing this game and the first one was nothing like it. But it has like a similar moveset. It has a double jump and it has like a dash mechanic. So far the dash mechanic's only one instance, but I wouldn't be surprised if you could do like multiple in the future. They have like kind of pseudo grappling hook mechanics that you can get and unlock. As you mentioned, it's all like Metroidvania. So basically you get awarded with some sort of moveset and then that'll unlock new parts of the map that you can explore. It's interesting. It's I don't know if it's like my particular type of game, so I might have like faint praise over the game overall, but just take that with a grain of salt because it might not be my type of game and other people will probably enjoy it more. The thing that I think it suffers from is like a similar thing that like the Arkham games have after you like 100% them, where the world feels very sparse and empty after you've completed like the main storyline thing that you need to do in each section. So like, you know, I typically try and like 100% the game and stuff like that. And so I've tried to go to every sort of thing that I've found on a map. And so I've cleared out most of the icons that I go to. I'm just kind of ignoring combat shrines and I'm ignoring some of the races as well. But one thing I'm surprised by is I think they do the percentage completed on areas. I think there's a lot of like secrets to the areas. Like I found some of them where it's like, oh, you can go up here further than I expected to. And there's like a secret like rune here that will give you, that's like its own economy that you can spend on somewhere else. So I think that might be counting towards percentage of completion of an area. And that might be why, like, I haven't 100% an area yet, even if there are no like icons on the map. And I think that's the reason why. I don't know how long the game is. I think I've played it for maybe, I guess it looks like 6 hours so far. But it feels like I'm at least like a decent percentage through, like maybe like halfway or something like that, but I'm not sure. I would need to look that up. But so it's kind of like mixed feelings. There's some things that the game does really well. Even like, for example, like the opening, you get an opening cutscene and then they're just teaching you the movement mechanics. So you're just running from right to left. But even as you're doing that, the world is like so rich with like art assets and like they're all animated and moving. And it's like the environment's like very lush. And so it's like there's things like that that are really impressive where it's like, wow, they spent a lot of time just on this like one section that you literally run through for like 2 seconds and you're never there again, you know? So there's certain things that are like really impressive about the game, but like I feel kind of mixed overall about the game. Just because the advancements of like unlocking new combat move isn't really enough to keep me engaged in it or keep me as like interested in it. But again, other people might like that, so they might be fine with it. So yeah. Nice.
No, I've always been curious about these games and hearing you kind of compare it to Hollow Knight. I don't know. I made my ears perk up. I like I like that game, and that's the first time I've heard it explicitly called out. Yeah.
Yeah. Think of it as maybe like a reskinning of Hollow Knight. So instead of that art style, it's a more, it's still like a good art style, but it's like a more like cute and imaginative like fantasy type art style, like pseudo Japanese influence, but not in style, but in like maybe substance of what's there. I don't know, it's interesting.
Cool.
Take all that for what you will.
Nice. Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Is that all you had, Ben?
That's all I got.
Okay. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so I'll do my Trackmania update first. They have kicked off what they call the Trackmania Grand League, which is like their pro circuit event thing. And you know, every week they have pro players race on these tracks. But then on a week delay, they have an open league where everyone comes in and can compete on the same tracks that all the pros are playing on, which is really fun. And the tracks always have these cool, they call them identity elements, but it's something unique and a weird obstacle that you kind of have to figure out. So I participated in that over the weekend. But unfortunately, four maps into the six map competition, a bunch of the servers went down. Mine included. And the Nadia's reaction was just to be like, yeah, that sucks. Okay. Not going to do anything about it. Sorry. Like, it's just over for you now, which, you know, it kind of sucks when this is like their big thing. And not that I'm like, you know, anywhere near the top or anything like that, but just for a significant portion of people that like this is the big exciting thing that they can do. The servers have not been that stable, and there doesn't seem to have really been a plan for how to address that. So they have yet to announce exactly how they're going to handle points, because it's, you know, it's one of those things where your points stack up week to week for people whose servers crash. But my guess is that it's just going to be those people are SOL.
Okay.
So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, they're cool and interesting tracks. And for while it was working, I was impressed that like the seating thing made it so I was competitive in the races I was in. And it was like I was grouped into a server that was with people at the same skill level as me. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. They don't have an official like matchmaking feature for multiplayer yet, but they're going to debut it soon. And if it works like their matchmaking did for, or their, you know, their placement did for the open league, I think that bodes well.
Yeah.
If only they can get the servers to work.
It seems like a prerequisite.
I think it sucks that they went down, but you know, I understood that, and it sounded like it was on the Ubisoft Connect side and not anything that the developer did.
Yeah.
So like the platform that it was on was having trouble. But just to have it be something that they so well, it seemed that they had clearly not really thought about was disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, continuing to really enjoy it overall. I found now more and more lots of little player organized tournaments to participate in. And so that's been fun, and continuing to enjoy the game.
Nice.
That's Trackmania. And then you'll remember a while back I mentioned that I finally bought the Frozen Wilds for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, right. It had been too long since you played the main game and
Started over from the beginning, and that DLC is meant to be started, you know, level 30, which is a non-trivial amount of the way in. So I finally leveled up enough to start this thing that I bought 2 months ago.
Cool.
And I'm really enjoying it. The opening fight, which acts as almost like a gate into the DLC, is incredibly difficult and just really well done. It introduces the idea of the kind of, there's a special type of corruption that the enemies in this area have that makes them even more crazy and aggressive than what you see in the main game. And you fight one of these things on a frozen basin, but it's like burning up. It's overheating as it's fighting you. And by the end of the fight, all of these portions of the basin have been melted.
Oh,
and you're like sloshing around. So it's not very deep, but to just start the fight on solid ground and have it be this crazy intense ordeal, which it, like Horizon Zero Dawn does that so well. Like the entire game is engineered on these big Shadow of the Colossus light fights, you know?
Yeah.
And to get to the end of that and to stand up and be like, oh, I'm in a swamp now where I was in on a frozen basin before. That's badass. Like that was really cool. So that was fun to get into. And it really made you feel like you earned your way into the DLC. Nice. As if the tens of hours invested getting up to level 30 wasn't enough. I've mentioned before, I really enjoyed, you know, playing through the game again, so that's that's no big deal. The lore and the story of the DLC focuses on the Banuk tribe, which it got me thinking about the way Horizon Zero Dawn handled all the different like factions and tribes and stuff like that. Because the story is that you know, humanity has had kind of a hard reset. And there's not even like the remnants of previous cultures to build off of. Everything in the world is kind of emerged again after this hard reset for humanity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's some things that kind of have Native American flavor to it, or have, you know, clear influences or inspirations from the real world, but it all kind of stands on its own and has its own internal logic for how it came to be. Which is really intriguing. And I think they handle that really well. And that, you know, that has the double benefit of now you don't have to worry about kind of ripping off any one culture or misrepresenting any one culture that you're trying to pull too much inspiration from.
Yeah, that's a good way to get around that.
Yeah, and they so they do a good job giving a lot of nuance and thought to how these things might come to be, or how these cultures might come to be, without being necessarily beholden to anything specific in a specific real world analog. But the Banuk culture is very about kind of challenge and overcoming trials, and you know, everything is a test to be passed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even death, etc. And they're dealing with this emergence of a new type of machine, and you're helping them out with that. But it just as the DLC is giving a magnifying glass to that specific culture, it really highlighted for me how the kind of writing and the story around all the different cultures in the game holds up really, really well. Mm-hmm. So from the Nora tribe that you start in, to this, you know, Banuk culture, to the Carja, which is like the dominant culture in their story. Like it's all really nuanced and really fun to learn about. So I'm kind of going through with an ear for that sort of thing, even more so than I did in my first playthrough. Mm-hmm. And the DLC is rewarding that. So, nice. So that's cool. After like the super intense first fight to get into the DLC, it's so far feeling a bit like more of the same. And that's a good thing, because Horizon Zero Dawn is good. But I'm betting that as I get into more boss fights, as I get into kind of deeper into the DLC, I'm probably 6 or 8 hours in. Mm-hmm. There will be more unique stuff. I've encountered one thing where instead of a corrupted zone where in the main game, enemies are just stronger and resistant to being overridden. Now it's effectively a corrupted zone, but there's like a central tower that heals enemies, makes them immune to shock and to being overridden. And you have to destroy that first.
What does it mean when one of these enemies is overridden?
Yeah, so early in the game, you get the ability to like turn a machine to your side.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Charm monster. As long as you have unlocked that type of monster by kind of finding a place where they're made, mm-hmm. and getting the data there, you okay. can if you sneak up on them, you can kind of change them to your team for a time. Mm-hmm. Except for the ones that are corrupted, and this plays into the narrative of the game that I won't go into, but if they're corrupted, they're resistant to that. You can't turn them, and they're a little bit crazier.
Okay.
This, like I said, in the DLC, it's a special kind of corruption, but they didn't necessarily feel tougher. Like it, yes, I had to destroy the central tower first before engaging the other enemies, but I could kind of cheese it with arrows from a ridge. Like it was more of a time tax to get into the area than anything else. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining that with that being the introductory tower, maybe they will then have towers that are better protected or harder to destroy from afar to make things more interesting.
Right.
But we will see as I continue in. But yeah, Frozen Wilds has quite the entrance, and I'm enjoying the time I'm spending with it.
Cool.
And that's me.
Do you get like new weapons and stuff, or is it just a new area to go to?
I have seen merchants with new weapons, but they require a currency that I haven't encountered yet. Mm-hmm. So it is thematic with the Banuk tribe, and gotcha. I imagine at some point I'm going to be. It's called Blue Gleam, so I imagine at some point I will come across it. But they definitely dangle the new items and everything in front of you, without the ability to buy them at first.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. The Frozen Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all you had?
That's me.
Yeah. Is that a baby I hear?
You do. And I'm realizing as you ask about that, I turned up the sensitivity of this microphone and never turned it down. So. Oh.
Okay.
Well, no, the baby settings in Discord.
This has to be the baby filter.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
And I will actually give props where props are due. This is a question that Rookie asked the nice people. So thank you, Rookie, cool. for suggesting this question. The question is, do you love the idea of a game, but not the game itself? So, is there a gaming related franchise that you enjoy either for the characters, writing, soundtrack, whatever, without actually liking the game itself?
So that's the question we asked the nice people. So if you didn't get that question, that might tell you something.
Yeah. Think about your life. I'll get us started here with Casey, who says, I love RimWorld, but I've never gotten further than 3 or 4 hours into a colony before I got bored, before I got bored playing, or a favorite colonist dies and I turn on God mode to ruin everything. So instead I watch modded Let's Plays on, YouTube and Twitch so I can enjoy all the drama and see a bunch of mods that I would never get around to playing otherwise. Shit, I really
that's actually my current like binge thing is I'm you know, while I'm doing chores or whatever, I'm binging through Northern Lions Let's Plays of RimWorld. So yeah, I can definitely see this is a game that is a lot of fun to watch someone else play.
It's kind of like Crusader Kings in that way, where it's I've played the tutorial of RimWorld. This game looks really sweet. I wish I knew how I played.
Yep.
Yeah, no, RimWorld's great. That was a game I had to take away for myself because it was a coal hole. Yeah, but I can also see it being too much, especially if you get invested in a particular character and they die. Yeah. Let's see here. David, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, I really like the idea of Minecraft, and I can get behind a game that allows you to build and create so many things. But I don't enjoy playing it, and like Casey just mentioned, I get as much enjoyment out of watching Let's Plays from people who are good at the game as I do from building rudimentary huts and, in effect, punching blocks.
Yeah, I imagine this is going to be a theme. I mean, even speaking from my own experience and, you know, streaming stuff and, you know, interacting with the chat, you know, there are people who say, I love the ideas in horror games, but I can't play them for whatever reason. So I just...
You bear that cross, Cole.
Well, it's not a cross. I enjoy playing horror games, even when they're shitty, like the Saw, the video game horror game. you know, but this, it sums it up pretty well that, like... Yeah, no, you must really like the idea of these games if you're enjoying them second hand, you know, thinking about the decisions other people are making when they play them. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it's just fun to watch someone be good at something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Ben, what does Austin say?
Austin says, Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. All the characters in that game are top written and the world is great, but the game is a playable green fog of confusion.
Soul Reaver is not a good game to play anytime post, let's say, 2003. No, yeah, can agree with that. And the same thing with like going back and reading about Blood Omen, the original Legacy of Kain game. It's like, yeah, there's like cool powers and stuff that they write about in here. I don't know that I would want to play that. Seems like it'd be really frustrating now if I tried. Yeah. Dennis, what does Eli say?
He says, I have a whole shelf that's begun to bow underneath the weight of all my World of Darkness TTRPG books. And even though I played it before I got into the tabletop, my memories of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines have never been great. I'll never forget the joy of playing through the first zone as a talky sneaky lady, the only way to play the game, and having a blast until a really hard boss... Well, surely I can sneak or fight my way past this thing.
Nope.
Ah, well, surely Bloodlines 2 will come out soon and blow us all away, right?
Nope.
Right? And Eli includes the disclaimer that he's not including the modern visual novel style World of Darkness games. They don't feel like the same franchise, and they totally slap.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was it the Monster Hunter World of Darkness games being kind of fun?
Monster Hunter World of Darkness games. What?
There's a version where you're basically Buffy. Like, okay. you're humans that have minor superpowers and have to fight all the things.
Hmm.
And they're basically like action RPG type things.
Oh, neat.
Cute.
Yeah. Cool. Mike writes, history, stealth, assassination. Broken down into all its parts, Assassin's Creed should be my favorite series by far. When I sit down to play those games, they're fine, but something never quite clicks with them. Yeah, no, I can see that.
Yeah, that basically could be the tagline for the game.
Assassin's Creed, they keep doing it.
Yeah, they keep on coming, just like the Saw movies.
We're going to keep going back to that, aren't we?
Oh, until it stops being funny. So until about 20 minutes ago.
Need a time machine.
David, what's Greg say?
Greg says, Dark Souls comes right to mind for me. Everything about this franchise screams at me I should love it. Fun, challenging gameplay, similar to games I really enjoy. Great graphics and music, numerous ways to play the game. But I just can't get into them. I tried several times and with all three games, but I always just bounce off them. I like watching others play them, though. I don't hate the games, I just hate that I suck at them, and I don't have the time or reflexes to get good at them.
Yeah, that's reasonable. If they're not fun to play, then don't play it. It'd be my, if it was me, I just wouldn't play it.
Or if it's Saul.
Oh, man. Ben, what does Rookie say?
Rookie, both the asker and answer of the question, mm-hmm. says, I'll easy answer, Warhammer 40K. Personal answer, my, at the time, three-year-old son somehow discovered Baldi's Basics on YouTube. Except he didn't discover the actual game. He discovered a surprisingly catchy song based on the games that really captures the feeling of being a child stuck in school. He obsessed over Baldi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, for a year or so, and found a bunch of other surprisingly good songs. The games themselves are kind of okay. For anyone interested in it, Cole and the Butterman covered it on Abject Suffering number 377. Can we make a fan-made movie, by the way, of Gary Butterfield? But like, what is it? Like Candyman, but with Gary Butterfield, the Butterman. All right. Anyway. My son and I have spent a lot more time than anyone except Dennis would believe playing Baldi, a version of Tag where the chaser, as Baldi, holds a ruler, smacks it against his hand, and sometimes times his steps to the smacks while slowly chasing down the other person in the room. He's since moved on to other obsessions. He can't get enough of Siren Head right now. But the series will always be the first gaming related thing my son introduced me to. Right. I don't understand any of this. Can you translate this, Dennis?
I'm not familiar with the games, but the idea of something catching your kid's imagination that is completely disconnected from the actual thing is very familiar. From what I'm Googling, it is a meta horror game that is inspired by all the edutainment games out there. So I'm guessing this Baldi something is chasing the player at some point, which is being imitated in their kitchen games.
Yeah. It's like I'll cut in a bit of the song here, cause that'll be fun. No, it's a little bit like any number of a Slender Man game or Bendy and the Ink Machine. Games are really popular with little kids that scream or streamers will play a lot. But yeah, it is vaguely modeled after edutainment in that occasion, you know, in the way that like frog fractions will teach you fractions. There'll be like a little bit of like wrong facts that it spews at you, but mostly it's a horror game that takes place in a school and Baldi is chasing after you, creepily like snapping his ruler every time he takes a step. And by takes a step, I mean warps closer to you. It's pretty charming, actually. Like it's not a terrible game.
Gives me fond memories of Catholic school.
With those warping nuns. It's so funny. Like there is zero distance when you're playing with kids. I'm sure everyone's experienced this between like really hilarious and super scary. And so, you know, you do like the, oh, I'm going to get you. And it's hilarious. And everyone gets super excited and runs around. And you move it 1 inch scary. And I was like, no, stop.
It's like, hey, like,
I'm sorry. I thought we were doing a thing. I thought this was cool. Okay.
I pick you up by your ankles and it's fun laughing. Ha ha, it's fine. I step 3 feet in this direction and dangle you off of the balcony. And all of a sudden, I'm the criminal.
Yeah. Who can understand kids?
capricious creatures. Let's see here. Dennis, what does Jeffrey say?
Jeffrey says tactics games on paper, it should be right up my alley, but it never quite fits right.
Yeah.
I mean, tactics games often better on paper.
True enough.
This is fair. I say, this is my answer for any tactics game, but XCOM.
Oh, really? Then do you
mean, like, what about like Banner Saga? The XCOM likes?
No, I'm exaggerating. I mean, Chimera Squad stuck with me. Oh, wait, that's also XCOM.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you played the Banner Saga.
I did. I never finished it.
I don't In think fact, I'm anyone trying to think of a has ever finished it.
I can't remember if I finished the first one or not.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another turn-based strategy game that I've finished. There has to be one at some point. I'll think about it. Anyway, continuing.
Let's see here. Sean writes, this isn't going to go down well, but largely the Legend of Zelda franchise, especially Breath of the Wild. The characters and lore always intrigue me, and I loved the visual design of Breath of the Wild, but I really didn't enjoy playing it all that much. The empty world and mechanics didn't captivate me like I know it has many others. I actually prefer Age of Calamity for its more defined story. No, I don't think you're alone. I mean, I know that, Ben, you kind of reacted poorly to Breath of the Wild, right?
I was mostly upset about the dungeons not being up to snuff for Zelda games, in my opinion. Right.
I can see that. Yeah. No, I mean, the majority of the here's the secret. The majority of the Zelda games that are out right now are not that fun to play.
Whoa, I'm not alone. Oh, man.
What?
Yeah, so I assume that this part of the show is being edited out so that we don't get pitchforks raised up.
The army of true gamers.
Have they released a mod yet to just take out durability? Because that's the thing that would make me nope out of Breath of the Wild.
I know we've had this discussion over and over. Like, I respect Breath of the Wild. Like, I think I definitely appreciate that they tried to go for something unique. My beef with it is it does not feel like a Zelda game, or it's not like what I'm like coming to the table for. I guess I wanted to play a Zelda game.
But I also respect like a working sewage system, but it's still a sewage system.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, just because one respects something doesn't mean, you know.
Yeah, to directly engage with it. Yeah.
Like, for example, if it was skinned as something else, like, I think it would be a really interesting game, and I would probably be more inclined to play it. But because it is a Zelda game, there's certain, like, expectations I have. And, like, there's so much of the game content is not something that I would anticipate or even ask for in a Zelda game.
Yeah.
It's, like, the fact that they have, like, temperature meters and, like, clothes that affect that, or durable weapons, or, like, you know, like, all that stuff is, like, okay, that's fine, but...
Yeah,
you know, it's tough. I don't want to like diminish anyone's joy on this game. So
I mean, and Sean is, you know, singling out Breath of the Wild, but also they're not necessarily a fan of Legend of Zelda in particular. And like, I can see that happening. I don't know how old Sean is, So, but I could like that. There is probably a non-zero number of people here who were born like maybe too late for the N64 Zeldas, and then like hit. Probably hit like I'm interested in meaty video games, like maybe after Twilight Princess, but before Breath of the Wild, where there was just kind of a desert for Zelda stuff that wasn't Link Between Worlds, which is objectively the best Zelda game to come out in 20 years.
Wait, which one?
A Link Between Worlds on the 3DS. Oh. Yeah.
Better than Twilight Princess?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, without a doubt.
I thought that Twilight Princess was a good like successor to Ocarina, mm-hmm. where I felt like the both of those were very like quote unquote perfect games, maybe, or like you can go back and play Ocarina and it looks like there's plenty of problems now when you're in a, you know, have rational goggles, but
Twilight Princess, if you were looking for something that was kind of just a game that was what Ocarina felt like developed to its kind of like logical extremes, let's say, that then it fit for that. For me, it didn't hit right for me because it was at the wrong time. I was not necessarily looking for more of that, so that's why I don't have a strong reaction to Twilight Princess, strong favorable reaction, let's say. And I'm not looking to start a fight with you because I know that you really enjoy that game, and I don't want to be a bummer here in the middle of this thing right here.
It's all good. We can just talk about something else, like Bioshock Infinite, maybe.
The fact that that's objectively the best Bioshock game?
What do you think about that, Cole? I haven't heard your input yet.
The best Bioshock game is Bioshock 2. So who was that? That was me who read that?
That was Ben read it, I commented, and then we went off.
I don't think I read it.
No, Tactics Games, then... No, okay, yeah. I am way behind.
It's fine. Yeah, yes. I read it. So, hey, David, what's Tom say?
Tom says, there is so much in the vein of Tactics Games, I just don't know how to play. I haven't been able to play something like Divinity Original Sin 2 or Baldur's Gate without a story mode option. I've spent lots of time doing homework to try to learn how to play these games, but honestly, I don't know how I should spend time trying to learn how to play a game. I wish I could have more fun with them. I name drop those RPGs because it's a game with multiplayer. I just can't even play it. I'm never going to be able to reach a skill to play it for any real amount of time.
I can definitely relate on that last point. Like, I think Call of Duty, like, this is the last time I was like, all right, I can keep up, but like anymore, it's just like, nah, I'm not going to do that. It's like, there's no.
Yeah, the amount of time you spend playing versus practicing, even if they're in the same venues, there is a distinction.
Yeah. Wait one second here. Sorry.
I was going to say, for Divinity Original Sin 2, the hack is just go Lone Wolf Summoner. And just rush that level 10 giant summon thing that you get, just and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, what's Jack say?
Jack says, I have to do it. The concept of Kingdom Hearts appeals to me on paper. I grew up a Disney kid, and I still have some small amount of affection for all those characters, even the hated Goofy. Those games, though, just not fun on any level to me.
Uh-huh.
I think most people agree with you on the third one, but
there are diehards who I would unkindly call them dead enders or lost causers who are ride or die on three.
Wow.
Because they love
beyond help.
They're so invested in one and two, which I can I can understand as a Mass Effect fan. Yeah. there's a version of Kingdom Hearts that could have been fun, and it would have not taken its okay. There's a version of Kingdom Hearts that I personally probably would have gone in for, And that was a version that didn't take itself as seriously as it does. But that is also the thing that a lot of people like about it, is that it's so self-serious. And so by asserting or wishing for it to be different, I'm actually trying, you know, I am saying, hey, take away this thing that some people enjoy and I can just happily ignore. So it'd be a net negative if I took that away from them. So
see, unlike you, I believe that there is a finite amount of joy in the world. So I'm all about take away other people's joy.
Yeah, no. David's game of the year every year is the zero sum game. Yeah. let's see here. Dennis, what does Sam say?
Sam says, I own Grand Theft Auto 5 on 3 separate platforms and have never gotten more than maybe halfway through it. I think I just love the central trio of problematic bachelors.
God, I love the phrase problematic bachelors.
I was just saying, guys, can I start referring to you as my central trio of problematic bachelors?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, man. Grand Theft Auto 5 is good. It's it's a good video game.
Yeah. I think
Grand Theft Auto games in general is just like almost designed to never be all the way finished.
Yeah, pretty much. I would be interested to see if they like if they still publish like achievement or trophy data. Like they used to say like what percentage of people who bought the game ever finished it, and it's like staggeringly low. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then rounding everything out here, Nicholas says, Dark Souls 2. I love the music, art, story, atmosphere, character enemy design, customization, literally everything about it except for the act of playing it. Played 120 hours through the game and DLC and still never got over how awful it felt to control. Yeah, that fits the spirit of it.
Yeah, 120 hours into a game that you just can't click with is impressive.
I would love this to be the turn where it's like, yeah, you're not supposed to be happy when you're playing it. Playing it to feel pain.
No, like there are Souls games that are a joy to control, like Bloodborne. You know,
Bloodborne.
Dark Souls 3 controls like Bloodborne does to a certain extent. Like you know, the snappiness of it. Yeah, I can. You know, Dark Souls 2 is weird. It's definitely the odd one out, so I can see that.
See.
I'm practicing being magnanimous, guys. Can you tell?
I feel like Dark Souls 3 probably only plays like Bloodborne if you play Bloodborne the way I play it, which is, you know, get the one ultra great sword and use no other weapon.
Well, with no poise system, it doesn't matter. So
true.
Yeah. So yeah, so that was everybody's responses. For me, I'm just going to say MMOs broadly. I really like reading about like the boss and encounter designs. I think there's really cool design that goes into like what makes this raid different. I like the ways that worlds change over the course of expansions and stuff like that. I even love reading about like failed MMOs from like the mid 2000s or whatever. Hate playing them. Don't have the time for it. I think that it's it's worse than running on a treadmill. But like, I love just like reading about like zones that don't exist anymore or have been repurposed and stuff like that. Like it's just fun to go wiki diving on things of that nature. So I will say broadly MMOs.
So can I piggyback on that one?
Sure.
For me, it's specifically EVE Online.
Yeah,
And I single that one out because I feel like it comes closest to fulfilling the promise that MMOs make in my mind anyway, which is this true alternate reality that is based on interacting with other people.
Yeah.
For as great as several other MMOs are, ultimately you're kind of playing through a story that someone has created for you, and you know there's a lot of pre-made content. EVE Online, at least, you know, when I read about it or look into it, there's so much political drama between players going and the factions and the protection rings and the like, just all this crazy stuff going on that is truly driven by players organizing in the game. And I actually don't even know if there is a story to speak of manufactured in the game.
No idea.
Yeah, but like that is amazing. I'm just not going to commit to being a peon in that universe and hundreds of hours it will take to be anyone of consequence, especially when the game plays like spreadsheets in space.
Yeah. There's an appeal to spreadsheets in space, but like it's fun to I don't know, watch like a YouTube recap of like a major battle that was like decided beforehand by corporate intrigue, or to just like read descriptions about things that like Goon Squad got up to. I'm sorry, Ben, I interrupted you.
Are you good? You keep bringing the conversation back to Soul. I keep bringing the conversation back to Factory.
Back to what?
Satisfactory.
Yeah.
But I was going to say like one thing that I appreciated about that game over MMO is like when you step back and think of your entire base, like everything that's being produced, like everything that's being done, you yourself put in the work to do at one point in time. And so there's this kind of like very satisfying like feeling when you get really far into the game where it's like, oh, I built all of this. Like I didn't like delegate any of it out, or I didn't like, you know, I didn't like convert like money into this like a house item or something like that. Like I built this entire like system. There's something like very rewarding about that over something like MMO that might feel like grindy at times.
Mm-hmm.
So my take on MMOs is I think the big problem is people don't actually want massively multiplayer games. What they want is like living worlds.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you look at it, I would say, you know, if you think of virtually any story, almost none of them have, say, more than about 30 characters, and most have less than 10, you know, important characters.
Yeah. Mm.
Like what there's the most I could think of was Canterbury Tales is 29.
You run into stuff like Game of Thrones, I mean, or even before that, like Dickens. Those always have just massive casts of characters and stuff.
True, but like the characters that are actually doing anything, most of those are NPCs.
Dickens?
Combining conversations here. What about a Saul MMO?
Oh,
you can your way to the top and be the ultimate jigsaw.
Maybe, but it would just be a bunch of jigsaws trying to trap each other. But it would basically just be spy versus spy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it'd be behind that.
David, how about you? What game do you love the idea of, but you don't throw in for?
Sure. So first off, I want a second. Warhammer 40K and Warhammer, as if you ever want something to just like wiki dive or, you know, watch some of the retrospective videos on YouTube, those are both worth it. But I think probably the one for me would be horror games in general, and specifically Dead by Daylight is, you know, that's a game I love following, like the wiki and, you know, kind of the community for that sort of thing. There's a lot of games I like following the community for that I don't actually like the game, like Overwatch. But
yeah, nice. And Ben, how about you?
I think I mentioned the ones it's the same as before, so like Crusader Kings or RimWorld, like games that seem fun, but I don't know how to play them effectively.
Right. And it's more entertaining to just kind of, I don't know, like draft behind somebody creating content about them.
Yeah, especially with like things like Factorio. Like I, after watching people play the game, then I was like, I'm never gonna play this again because I'm not. Like it's more fulfilling to watch someone else like do really cool things with it.
Nice.
Yeah, I wish there was a genre for, like, I don't know what you'd call it, like, full game speedruns or something, where...
Long place.
Yeah, you know, I want to watch... There's a bunch of games I want to watch, say, like, Bayonetta or something. Someone who's really, really good at the game, but not someone who's necessarily, like, you know, just rushing through it. You know what I mean?
Long place is what you're looking for, preferably without commentary, probably.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you, everybody, for writing in. This was a good question. Ruki, thank you for suggesting it. Hey, thanks, Dennis, for posting it. Thanks, us, for reading it. Yeah, no, anymore. Thanks.
You're doing so good at that magnanimous thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you would like to participate in these going into the future, you can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things in the world of video games that are exciting to us. I have an answer to the question that has been on everybody's mind since more details about Resident Evil 8 have come out. namely, how tall is that tall lady?
People want to know.
People have clamored. People really...
That's not what I've seen people want to know about that lady, but you know, whatever.
You start with the numbers and then you go from there. So that character, the big tall lady, is named Lady Dimitrescu, and the art director for Resident Evil Village came out and, using the official Resident Evil Twitter account, revealed how tall that lady is. So saying, if you include
her, how tall that lady,
yeah, saying, I hear height is something of interest, ... saying,
very strategic ellipsis.
If you include her hat and high heels, she is 2.9 meters tall, or approximately 9.5 feet tall, 9'6". So if everybody's been trying to calibrate anything in your own individual setups, keep in mind she is 2.9 meters tall, or 9'6".
I'm going to play the game on a screen that has her at life size.
Yep. And yeah, that is, you know, that is my news. She is 2.9 meters tall, or 9 foot.
Which is it?
6 inches. So yeah, that's my story. That's all I've got. And there's
this is, again, judging by the frenzy of the internet, that is a story of import.
Yeah, that's good and all, Cole, but what does it have to do with Saw?
I imagine there's a real tall lady in Saw. I don't know. The cosplay for Lady Dimitrescu is really that's a good search to do if you enjoy seeing statuesque busty ladies. So there's that for you. If you want that, because people are so
I feel like the real metric I want to know is how wide is new Chris Redfield?
Oh man, just more questions. What were you gonna say, Ben?
I forget.
Oh, okay.
David, when you said that, you know how there's like thick THICC, when you mm-hmm. said how wide, I literally saw it in my mind as WYDD.
Wide. Let's see here, Dennis, what's going on with Ninja Theory?
Yeah, a game that I forgot existed is going to no longer exist. So apparently I'm not the only one that forgot it existed. Ninja Theory, which is just killing it with their Hellblade work, post-Hellblade went on and did a game called Bleeding Edge, which is a very intriguing premise. It is basically a melee-based Overwatch.
Hmm.
And it's like
basically Overwatch Edgelord edition.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm listening.
Yeah. The art style definitely bends in that direction. And I remember reading about this being in development. I don't ever remember it getting announced as release, but apparently it was, and they are now officially closing it down. So like I said, I'm clearly not the only one who kind of forgot this existed. I went through and kind of browsed some of the videos for the game, and it definitely, like I said, is going for that Overwatch vibe, but it feels like a very League of Legends style set of abilities that each character has. Again, coming back down to the fact that their auto attacks are you know, hand-to-hand combat, and a League of Legends moveset put into a Overwatch camera perspective makes everything even less parsable than League of Legends already is.
Oh, wow.
So I can see how someone new to this game might struggle to understand what's going on or get frustrated. In League of Legends, you can have your camera in the wrong position, but the one saving grace is you can't have it rotated to the wrong angle, right? Like there's only one angle. In this one, it's League of Legends levels of confusion plus the ability to have your camera borked in the wrong direction.
Yeah. What if your only source of information was possible to just be taken away from you by you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't have anything to say about the game. Gameplay, because I and everyone else seemed to have missed it, but Ninja Theory is kind of now focusing on the sequel to Hellblade, which I don't know how I feel about. Certainly more games in that style would be welcome, but the idea of directly continuing that story just I don't know. It was such a complete and well-told story in and of itself. I don't know how they're going to continue it without fucking it up.
Putting that character through more challenges would seemingly undercut the triumph at the end of that game.
Yeah, yeah. And so then, from whence do you manufacture the conflict in a way that doesn't feel like it is just putting her through more of the same? Or is it kind of pales in comparison or undercuts what happened in the first game?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Huh.
You gotta give the people what they want. And by people, I mean the investors.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Capitalism is a big dumb beast that does nothing but feed itself.
Except when Reddit gets involved. Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
It was really funny for us to allude to that at the end of last week and then to watch it just explode. the past week.
When we recorded that, we were ahead of the curve before everything. Hey, one second. I got all my fucking cat into this room.
Yeah, the green ring around your name isn't going down.
Yeah. No. When we recorded that, we were ahead of the curve. But then, everything, it got oversaturated. Oh, well. let's see here. David, what's happening with Genshin Impact?
Yeah, so this is kind of a fluff piece, but the woman that voices Paimon, which is kind of your Puck style, sidekick / tutorial character, has a TikTok. So if you want to see just someone, take fan requests to, deliver various lines as Paimon and stuff like that, that's your place. I think probably most entertaining is that, there's a video where, she finds out that her boyfriend plays Genshin Impact, but skips through all of her lines.
Yeah.
The TikTok, it sounds like it's actually kind of centered around the character of Paimon versus her more broadly as an actress? Or
how much does she lean into that? It looks like it's kind of some of both. From what I understand, she voice acts a lot of stuff, and most of the TikTok is just kind of like her doing her thing. But Paimon appears to be by far the most like popular or kind of well known character she does, and so a lot of it's kind of her interacting with fans, that sort of thing.
Nice,
but very cool. Yeah,
neat.
By far the best part of that game.
I mean, it's good that they have a Puck style character who is not annoying, or is that the point that she is annoying?
Some of both.
She's annoying in an amusing way instead of annoying in an annoying way.
Annoying in a navvy way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey Ben, what's going on with BioWare and Mass Effect?
Yeah, hot off the presses. This was released earlier today. But they released the trailer for Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which just has DLC and it's higher resolution graphics.
It's like an HD remaster of the three Mass Effect games. One of the worst kept secrets in game development, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be released on May 14th. But the thing that I was a little bit surprised by, it's going to be released on the PS4 and Xbox One, and it'll play in like the legacy modes on like PS5 and Xbox Series X consoles. Mm-hmm. So it's been ported up to what CD Projekt Red calls last generation consoles.
There are a lot of games that are like that right now. I think that what's important is that it will be playable. And it's probably good for them not to like promise PS5 level or Xbox Series X level graphics from this.
That's fair. Yeah. If they don't have it, then it's better to be upfront about it. So.
is it just nostalgia coloring my memory, or like this time around, people are way more hesitant to get into the next generation than previous times? Like,
there are no games for the next quote unquote next generation stuff. As somebody who owns both the PS5 and an Xbox Series X.
There's also no PS5s either, so that's why I'm hesitant about getting into it.
There's also that, it's like impossible to get a hold of one even if you're like really trying. I think that just it is a slower transition. No, you're not alone in thinking that, Dennis.
Cool.
Yeah. This looks cool. I don't know like if I have like a Mass Effect replay in me. I'm curious to see if they're going to do anything gameplay wise with the original Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how faithfully are they going to bring over the vehicle sections and stuff? Like, I can see that being dumb bullshit, but also
high definition dumb bullshit.
right. I could see it being like, okay, oh, they changed it. How could they besmirch the original product? Or they didn't change it. What's the point of this thing that you could just play anyway?
Yeah.
You know, anything like that.
That's like the tough piece. I would want to play Mass Effect 2 again, but I don't know if I would want to do that at the expense of having to play through all of Mass Effect 1 again.
Do they let you start Mass Effect 2 and do like the recap catch up choice thing?
They would have to. I could see it being a launcher. Like if you buy the Assassin's Creed Ezio collection, you can just decide to launch to Brotherhood or Revelations. Mm-hmm. That would be really bad and dumb if they decided, no, you can't launch directly into Mass Effect 2.
They glue your eyes open. You will experience.
That'd be bad.
Maybe if they put in like a story mode for Mass Effect 1, just skip all the combat.
Yep. Maybe. All the Mako parts.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how it goes. I think that BioWare has a lot to do to like reestablish themselves as like a studio that people can trust, let's say. And maybe this will go some direction toward helping that. The screenshots look pretty and fine, but also I'm not somebody who is bothered by the legacy visuals, so who knows. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad that these will be playable, although every Mass Effect game is playable on Games Pass, so weird. I don't know. David, you put another story into the machine.
This is totally off topic, but have you seen the any of the stuff from the new Studio Ghibli movie that is like Uncanny Valley, the movie?
No, I literally just saw this thumbnail and headline that you put here, Earwig and the Witch.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It feels weird and bad to see Studio Ghibli go away from hand-drawn or 2D animation to 3D. Like, 3D is common now, 2D is rare. Continue doing the rare thing would be my point of view. But
so I related note, I watched apparently at some point they took the first Pokemon movie and redid it with 3D animation.
What?
I put it on because the kids like Pokemon, and it is not good.
It's one of those things, right? Like, I know 3D animation is expensive or whatever, but it always looks cheap, and like hand-drawn 2D animation that is like animated on the twos like has wrapped around and has gone from being a thing that like you know, looks cheap because it was a way to animate things to save money, and it's wrapped around and like, oh yeah, this is fucking gorgeous. Like this is like this is the mark of high handcrafted artisanal quality. Yeah. Hand drawn things, please. Draw things for me. Dance. The artists,
not programmers.
You can pay both. Programmers have a have a role in making tools for animators to use, right? Oh man. How do you guys feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button.
Okay. I forgot to do the buttons thing for the first time in 300 something episodes last episode, and I feel bad about that.
Wait, yeah. Has Chala found out about this yet? Can we fix it in post?
She hasn't pointed it out, so I don't know if she stopped when she got to the end boss or not. And also, you know, not everybody is beholden to listen to every episode of the show that we do. Right. That's
let nobody mention it. And nobody
we will see. We will see if she holds us to account. If you're listening, you probably know the things that we can do or that you can do to help us. You can participate in the multiplayer or like us on Facebook. That's The Level Podcast. Just do a search on there. You can subscribe, leave a rating or review, support the network's Patreon, patreon.com/duckvtv. I swear to God, Dottie, if you step on my keyboard, I'm going to flip out. And listen to other shows in the network. That'd be cool, too. There are lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Now she's letting me pet her. Look at her go. Look at her tail. And now she's growling at me. And yep, nope, that's her biting into my finger. And now she's looking at. Okay. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
The circle of cats.
Yeah. You're forgetting to not trust Dottie.
Don't trust her lies.
I'm telling you, Dottie is the saw cat.
saw cat. Cool. So you can watch. I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams on Twitch at DuckVTV.
Yeah, I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Twitch as well at Deck of Wonders.
I've been David Meinsmith back in Alabama.
I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. Okay, I've got three. I have Captain Teeth. I have Dickensian NPCs. And I have Wide. That is W. Oh, fuck. Hey, Dottie, fucking stop. Oh, my God. No, she stopped the recording. Oh, no, and now.
Oh, shit. She deleted my operating system.
Let me.
Cats could do this.
It wasn't a black hat operation. It was a black cat operation.
Oh my God. This is going to be a fucking nightmare to edit. Where's my notepad? Oh, she got rid of that too.
Just add a cat flag.
Oh, Jesus. God damn it, Dottie. No. Get off my fucking keyboard. Honey. I hate you. She won't go unless I turn on the laser pointer. Okay. Oh,
I just hope you know that your suffering brings me so much joy.
No, it's fine. It's fine. No. So I have Captain Teeth, Dickensian NPCs, and Wide. That is spelled WYDDE.
Oh yeah, the Chris Redfield.
Yeah. Who has other stuff?
Okay, I have four. I have An Incredible Machine for Pigs. Central Trio of Problematic Bachelors. How tall that lady?
1 second. Dottie's on my fucking keyboard again. I need to write these down. Okay, so An Incredible Machine for Pigs, a Central Trio of problematic
bachelors.
Okay.
How tall that lady? And why?
Okay.
I had Jigsaw Dottie, feeling very appropriate right now. I too had Problematic Bachelors.
Okay.
Or it was a core trio of problematic bachelors, stylized just as problematic bachelors. And then I also had Practicing magnanimity.
Woo!
No, it's a dumb word.
Practice.
Okay. Let's see here. Ben, what you got?
I got two that got no shot. One of them is irrigation, spelled the way that you would want to if you wanted to make it a pun.
Okay.
And then the other one, I put X-Files cat attack. I thought that would be a fun one to give no context to the audience about.
Yeah, we weren't even really recording for that, I don't think.
But I did watch that video as we were recording.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
What's the context for the video? Well, what happens in the X-Files cat video? So
it was when the recording broke, we were talking about cats eating people's faces, and that's like a plot point in an X-Files episode.
Right.
Where one of the guys can see the future, and he sees like his neighbor being eaten by a cat. But then David posted a much better cat eating human X-Files subplot, which was the main plot of an episode. And it's 2.5 minutes of Scully getting attacked by a cat.
It's like the birds, only the cats.
Dottie, like, you seriously, you can't hop up on my desk and beg attention for me, and then when I go to pet you, you go. You can't do that.
Oh, but she can.
Oh fuck! How did I fuck you up? I got you like basically the day you were born, and you're this now. This is what you've chosen to be. I don't know. So the vote getters are Wide and a core trio of problematic bachelors. I like Wide.
I can get behind that.
That is good.
Any impassioned cases against Wide?
No, I rang a bell. So we have done in the past The Level, A Machine for Pigs.
Yes. Yeah. We've done lots of Machine for Pigs puns throughout the run of the show.
And it's been a while since we've had a one-word title.
The podcast is a machine for pig puns.
Yep.
we had College Coaster, I think, is the last one. That was
going once, going twice. Wide?
Yeah, Wide.
Okay. Oh, this. No. Hey, honey, don't step. You're right on top. No. Okay, I need to go.
We'll let you
nope, and she stopped it. She stopped the recording. Stop it. This is gonna be a fucking nightmare. Okay. Cool. I'm gonna go and give her attention that she obviously wants but also doesn't want. All right.
She's a complicated lady.
Cool. Take care, everybody. Have a good week.
See you guys. Have a good week.
Yep. Bye.